God's Son. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul is encouraging the church to participate in the contribution for the needy saints in Jerusalem. And he uses the Macedonian churches as an example of generosity in the midst of extreme poverty. But Paul's supreme example is Jesus Christ. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So what can we know about the grace of Jesus Christ? Number one, the principle of grace, a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The purpose of grace, redemption. The privilege of grace, we have access to God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The product of grace, character. The verses that Ryan read, let me read verses 11 and 12 again. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." And then the prospect of grace, eternal life. Acts 20, verse 32, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So the Bible teaches a beautiful truth, and that is God is a giving God. And I'm reminded at this time of the year that God is indeed a giving God. Now, I do not know the exact date, and Andrew clarified that last week as well. I don't know when, but I do know this. I know where he was born, in a town called Bethlehem, in fulfillment of a prophecy made some 700 years earlier. He was born of a virgin. He came to save his people from their sins. And that is something that we celebrate every month, every day of the year. He's not just the reason for the season, but he is the reason for all the seasons. And I want us to try and grasp, if we can, the nature of the gift. As I stated earlier, God is a giving God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 2 and verse 8 again, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And James reminds us in chapter 1 that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. What is the greatest gift that God has given us? Well, Paul expresses it this way in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This gift is an unmerited gift. We did not deserve it. We could not earn it. What could we have possibly done to have God to send his one and only Son? It is an unparalleled gift. No gift like this was ever given before. Through the centuries, God revealed himself through his prophets, his teachers, his messengers, and last of all, he sent his Son. What other gift can parallel the gift of his Son? A love that we will never fully understand or comprehend. Ephesians chapter 3, "May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." I've always been struck by that line, to know the love of Christ, which what? Surpasses knowledge. It's a life that will never die. Revelation 1 verse 18, and the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. A righteousness that can never be tarnished. 1 Peter 2 verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. It's a peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. An unparalleled gift. But it is also an unlimited gift. Not limited to one person, but every person. Not limited to one need, but every need. Not limited to one race, but every race. Not limited to one problem, but every problem. Not limited to one age, but every age. God's unlimited gift to us. But I would also suggest that it is a practical gift. To the lost, He is the way. To those in bondage, He is the liberator. To those who hunger, He is the provider. To those who are weak, He is strong. To those in darkness, He is the light. To those who are troubled, He is our peace. When we look at Jesus and see all that He has come to mean in our lives, we can also say with Paul, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. You perhaps have seen the little thing that said, if our greatest need had been entertainment, God would have sent a performer. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need was salvation. And God sent to us a Savior. Philip Yancey tells of visiting his mother one Christmas. Yancey is a well-known writer, author of What's So Amazing About Grace and the Jesus That I Never Knew. His father had died of polio when he was a baby. His dad was only 24 when he passed away. Philip and his mother lived 700 miles from each other. And when Philip arrived, his mother got out a box of old photos, and there were pictures of Philip in his cowboy and Indian outfit, another of him in a first grade play. But he came across a picture when he was a baby. But it was mangled, it was torn. He asked his mother, Mom, you have a lot of pictures. Why did you save this one? You should throw it away. She told Philip, when his father went to the hospital for the last time, he was in an iron lung, and no one could go see him. His mother was the only visitor, and they had arranged a mirror on the iron lung so that he could see her and that she could see him. But one of his last requests was that she bring a picture of the baby, of Philip. And he had to crumple it, to mangle it, to get it between the knobs so that he could see it. And when Philip heard the story, he thought of what it was like to be cared for by somebody he had never known. And he tried to imagine that dying man who was his father, spending his last waking moments looking at the picture of a baby that he would never hold. From crib to cross, God held a picture of you. An image of you in His mind. And that's the reason He was born as a child. That's the reason He went to the cross. And that's ultimately the reason for great joy. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I cannot even begin to comprehend the love that You have for those that You created. And I want to thank You from the bottom of my heart for Your willingness to send Your Son and for His coming to this earth, living a life among us for a time. His willingness to go to the cross and to die that agonizing, cruel death. But thank You that You raised Him up and He descended back to You, and there He is sitting at Your right hand interceding for us. And so we thank You, Father, for that gift that continues to give to us every single day of our lives. Thank You, Father, for loving us. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You for always being there for us. And thank You, Father, for Your Son who intercedes for us with groans and sighs that sometimes we have a difficult time articulating to Your wonderful and gracious throne. And Father, as the world celebrates the coming of Jesus, we certainly are thankful for that. And thank You again, Father, for Your promise to always be there for us. And again, it's hard for us to even begin to comprehend the length and depth and height and breadth of the love that You have for each one of us. But I pray, Father, that You will help us this morning to maybe perhaps have that image of Your having a picture of us in Your mind from the very beginning and what You were willing to do, so that we could have salvation and we could have that prospect of eternal life. Thanks be to You, our dear Father, for that indescribable gift. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing our song of encouragement. If there's anybody here today who is ready to respond to the gospel through faith, repentance, baptism, we're here to help you. If you desire the congregation for any reason, we're here to pray with you and to pray for you. So if there's any way that we can serve anyone this morning, we would certainly encourage you to step out and to make your intentions known to us as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement. Over all the